reading from Ephesians. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with the seal from the day of your redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath, and anger, and wrangling, and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The word of the Lord.
A reading from John. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and anyone who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. This is indeed the will of my Father, that all who see the Son and believe in him may have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Gospel of the Lord. Previously, in the Bread of Heaven series, Jesus fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, calling to mind both Moses and Elijah. The people declared Jesus a prophet and were going to force him to be their king. Jesus escaped. And later, while walking on water, he identified himself to the disciples as I am, the name God used to self-identify to Moses at the time of the Exodus. The crowd searched for and found Jesus again. not because they recognized the obvious signs of who he was and his unique relationship with God, but because he had fed them bread and fish. Jesus told them not to work for that kind of food, but instead to work for the food that endures for eternal life. They asked him what the work of God was, and Jesus replied it was to believe in him whom God had sent, Jesus. Incredibly, they wanted another sign, though. Like when God fed the Israelites with manna in the wilderness every morning for 40 years. Jesus offered something far better and said the true bread from heaven comes from God and gives life to the world. When the people asked Jesus to have that bread, Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus explained to the people that he had come to do God's will, which was to lose no one and raise them up on the last day. If they believed in Jesus, they would have eternal life. That's a pretty fantastic offer. We talked a little bit last week about how believing in Jesus is about more than saying a creed. It's not just what you say, it's how you live, which is something that takes a great deal of commitment and intentionality, which is something people don't always want in their lives. So the crowd began to grumble against Jesus. They knew his family, after all, and they couldn't see how he had any authority to tell them what God's will was. Jesus reminded them what the prophets had told them, that they would be taught by God. If they heard and learned from God, they would believe in Jesus, which was not a new teaching. 1,200 years earlier, when God gave the Israelites the manna from heaven, Moses told them, "God humbled you by letting you hunger, then by feeding you with manna, with which neither you nor your ancestors were acquainted, in order to make you understand that one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." For centuries before Jesus, bread had been a symbol of knowledge of God's word and God's will. Now, Jesus embodied God's word and God's will. Jesus was God's living bread, God's bread in the flesh. At the beginning of John's gospel, he told us that. John said that God's word became flesh in Jesus and lived among us, full of grace and truth, to make God and God's will and God's word known to us. So Jesus said, "The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." It would be a while before anyone would really know what that meant. At his last supper with his disciples, Jesus would declare that the bread and the wine of the meal were his body and his blood, given for the forgiveness of sin. On the cross, he would indeed give his flesh for the life of the world. all of which John had told us in the third chapter of his gospel when he said, "The Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." That is the true bread from heaven. That is the bread of life, Jesus. Which brings us back again to what it means to believe in Jesus. Last week I noted that believing is a way to live, a way of thankfulness and service and obedience and righteousness. This week I would add that believing in Jesus also means believing Jesus. Believing that he is who he says he is. Believing the words he speaks are the words of eternal life. Believing him that his flesh is given for us so that we might have forgiveness and life. Professor and theologian Dallas Willard put it like this: "We don't believe something by merely saying we believe it, or even when we believe that we believe it. We believe something when we act as if it was true." All of which necessitates that we know God's word and God's will as thoroughly as possible. The truth is, God's word and God's will might make us grumble as well. God has really high expectations for us. God's word and God's will is not an easy way to live. Take our reading from Ephesians, for example. The Apostle Paul told the Ephesians how individual members of the church should live in order that the congregation itself might be the body of Christ and bread for the world. In just a few verses, we get an assignment that we'll be working on for the rest of our lives. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Let no evil talk come out of your mouth, but only what is useful for building up. Put away all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander and malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Be imitators of God. Live in love. Those aren't just pretty words for Sunday morning. Those are God's words to help us know what believing in Jesus, the bread of heaven, involves. Not just on Sunday mornings, but as our way of living. I don't know about you, but all of that makes me suddenly keenly aware of how much sin I have to confess to God, and how blessed I am to be invited to the meal where I can feast on the bread of life. The bread from heaven. For that, I certainly ought to thank, praise, serve, and obey him. Next Sunday, we will continue our consideration of the sixth chapter of John in our Bread of Heaven series. You may anticipate that there will be much for us to feed on and much for us to digest. Amen.